Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's weekly weather report on the astrological comings and goings of the planets above. I sit here tonight at my bright red desk after the new kitten just dropped something very large on the floor and kind of scared me and the other two cats. So we're having adventures here on the Upper East Side, as are you, I would think, in your house or your land, wherever you're listening from. So today is the weekly weather for the week of July 27th, 2009, and we're going to talk about what's coming up in the week ahead. Got some viewer emails and a couple, hopefully some callers, and we'll go forward from there. So we'll start a little bit with an overview. We are still in the middle of the eclipses, but this week will be nice. This is the week when you get the cold, okay? You've been going through a lot of emotional processing. You've kind of been dealing with all this stuff, a lot of stuff going around. This is the week when you catch the cold, or you get the fever, or you feel tired. This is also the week of the eye of the storm. You know how they always have that hurricane thing, and you're in the middle, and it's kind of quiet before the next pass? This is quiet before the next pass. Next week, we have another eclipse. And that one will be in Leo and Aquarius on the world axis. So that'll be a pretty big one on Wednesday. But this week is kind of the quiet week, the week where we get to kind of think about what's going on in our life. We get to kind of look around, kind of cogitate on what we're trying to do. And it's a week where Venus and Mercury have a number of aspects. So when those two have aspects, generally it's not so bad because we're happy. We're fun. It's kind of cool. It's like not cranky and irritable. It's Venus. How could Venus be cranky? And she's in a trine this week to the Gang of Three. So she's very chatty and very communicative and very much in the mood to kind of relate and connect and party and have a good time. And Mercury's in Leo, and so he's opposing the Gang of Three. And he's going to be going to them, no, I don't really want to. No, I don't want to. No, 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 no. Because he wants to do what he wants to do. So this is kind of one of those say no to the things you don't want to do week. And when people tell you you're being selfish, you say to them, no, I'm just not doing what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. So the idea here is to say yes to the stuff you love, say no to the stuff you don't want to do, and just kind of have a good time this week because it's not, hopefully, going to be nearly as intense as the last few weeks have been. I say that with, you know, kind of bated breath because it's been a busy couple of weeks. But at the same time, it's a week of love because Venus is all about love. Mercury is all about communication. And the Gang of Three, Neptune, Uranus, and Jupiter, right, no, that's wrong, Neptune, Jupiter, and Chiron in Aquarius, are all talking to Venus and they're all talking to Mercury. And they're also, Uranus is in the mix there. He's arguing a little bit with Venus. So there can be a little bit of a fight on Wednesday, but well, hopefully that won't be a bad fight. So let's talk a little bit about the week's energy, what it feels like, how it feels energetically, and also the recognition, I think, in this week of the things that have left. You know, there's been a lot of things that have left or shifted or felt like they've moved, and that's good. And then we know the new things come in whenever something leaves, but they aren't here yet. So we're kind of in that quiet space while we're waiting and looking and going, okay, so like, when's it going to be over? When are we going to know? And you're going to know a little more next Wednesday. This week, just relax and have fun. Enjoy the summer. Play a little. Laugh a little. Call friends you haven't talked to in a while. And enjoy yourself because the energy of the week is really about enjoying. Because it really is a Venus and a Mercury week. Now, Venus, of course, is the goddess of love. So whenever she's happy, we're all happy. And whenever she's not happy, it's not so much fun on Earth. All right. So Venus this week is the beginning of the week on the 27th and the 28th. She's trining, which means she's in a flowing aspect with Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune. So she's feeling very chatty and connected and related. And like she wants to communicate and she wants to connect and touch and talk and schmooze and kind of have that kind of connect. Then she argues on the 28th on, you know, she has an argument like in the afternoon of the 28th and wants to maybe shift some stuff. She has a fight with her mother or a fight with the nurturing principles on the 30th, which is Thursday. And then on Friday, the 31st, she enters a new sign. She leaves behind Gemini, and she goes into Cancer. Now, when she goes into Cancer, what happens is she's got a little bit of she loses her ability to talk. She's much more sensitive, and she's much more deeply emotional. And so, right, remember, when she goes into Cancer, we have all this stuff right there at the beginning of Capricorn, Pluto's sitting there and the nodes are sitting there, so she makes aspects to the nodes on Saturday the 1st. And what those do is they help you see things in clear relief about what's going on. So the beginning of the week's easy, and then at the end of the week she moves into a much more sensitive place, and she's much more losing her voice or losing her ability to talk or losing her ability to communicate on some level. And that's okay, but she's also feeling really, really, really deeply, all right? So it's kind of a highly emotional energy when she gets towards the back end of the week. Correspondingly, or at the same time, I guess concurrently would be the right word there, concurrently rather than correspondingly, the beginning of the week for Mercury is a little tougher because he's arguing with Saturn, and he's kind of getting a little cranky, you know. And, of course, Mercury in Leo is kind of puffy, you know. Those are the people that talk about themselves all the time and can't help but tell you stories about themselves and yada-da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, okay, so, like, enough with the stories about yourself. Like, talk about something else. Oh, more about me. Okay, fine. So that's the beginning of the week. Mercury and Saturn are kind of a little cranky. Then when we get to the middle of the week, Thursday, Friday, Mercury's having fights with the Gang of Three, Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune. And what he's doing is he's saying to them, look, I don't care what you guys want. I want to do it my way. And they're saying to him, no. Because remember, there's three of them against one of him. Now, Mercury is very fast, and he's very smart, and he's very clever. But when he's in Leo, he doesn't necessarily think about the other guy. He tends to be a little bit self-interested. So this is kind of one of those days where people are going to say, you know, you're really being selfish. Or you're going to be in the mood to say to someone, you know, you're really being selfish. And they are. And they aren't doing what you want them to do. Correspondingly, I think that's the proper word, concurrently, I don't know, one of the two. Mercury's in Leo, I don't know the right word. Leo then says, no, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. It's very much a, no, I don't want to. Oppositions have a no quality to them. Or they have a stand across the room and go, not in the mood. Sorry, not in the mood. Not in the mood, not in the mood. It also has a separating energy. So you can lose stuff. You can lose your keys. You can lose your cell phone in a very good story way because it is in Leo. But so be a little careful towards the end of the week with that, the Thursday, Friday. And then Mercury argues with Uranus, which means usually a little bit of a disgruntled explosion of sorts or some kind of an emotional outburst on the 31st. And then correspondingly, I don't know which word. I'm going to come up with a new word. And then, all of a sudden, that's better, all of a sudden, I like that. All of a sudden, on August 2nd, he enters Virgo. Now, Mercury lives to be in Virgo. Totally loves it. And when he enters Virgo, he's going to enter into a trine with Pluto, which makes him very, very happy. And he's also going to talk to Jupiter, and he's going to talk to the node and adjust things. So that happens on Sunday. So Mercury changes signs, Venus changes signs. We also have a third planet changing signs on Sunday too, Pallas. Now Pallas is an asteroid, so you know we don't technically always talk about her, but I happen to really like the asteroids because they really give you a lot of juicy information. So Pallas changes into Virgo on the 2nd also. And when she goes into Virgo, she kicks up the process-oriented energy. Pallas was the father's daughter. She was born from Zeus's head of a headache. He was, you know, fooling around one day, and his wife came over and swallowed who he was fooling around with. And, the guy was really a kind of a slime. No, I don't mean to be, no offense to Zeus, kind of a little bit of a slime ball. At any rate, he swallowed whoever he was fooling around with, whose name escapes me right now. And out of his head, he had a splitting headache like a couple months later. Out of his head popped Pallas Athena, cracked the head open with the sword or the axe, and she popped out fully grown. And so she didn't have a mother. So Pallas Athena is the strategic father's daughter energy, the smart warrior goddess. the smart, detached energy. She was a strategist. She was a warrior. She taught people how to fight. She was also a peacekeeper. She's who we see on the scales of justice. Athena holding the scales of justice and saying, seeking balance, seeking balance. So when she moves into Virgo, very often what she does is she becomes much more focused on the process. So that means on Sunday, we're going to be all about the process, the how we do it, the how we do it, what do we do. And Virgo tends to be a food-based sign, so she often is very much about nutritional cleansing, really coming up with new ways of communicating, coming up with new ideas about how to talk. So when she goes into Virgo on Sunday, at the same time that Mercury goes into Virgo, Mercury and she are kind of hanging out together, right? Now, Mercury really kind of likes pals Athena. You know, she's kind of a smart girl, and he goes, yeah, I like the smart girls. They always come up with fun things to do. So we can anticipate this week, as the two of them are in Leo and then shift out of Leo into Virgo, we can anticipate that there's an energy there that we're going to be looking at and saying, okay, let me come up with a better system. Let me come up with a better process. Let me come up with a better idea of how to handle it. Let me come up with a better way. So this is a very good week, especially towards the end of the week, for the better way. Maybe we can do this instead of that. Maybe this is a better idea. The outer planets are very quiet this week. You know, aside from Venus talking to Pluto, they're pretty good. And they're talking to Venus and Mercury, so they're not nasty. Saturn's really quiet. I don't know what he's doing. He's off maybe sleeping on the beach someplace. He has no aspects this week. A little spat with Mercury at the beginning of the week, but doesn't even count. So Saturn's quiet, and Jupiter, of course, has two aspects of brilliance. Okay, on the 30th, which is on Thursday, he has an aspect of brilliance around the home. And on the 2nd, which is Sunday, he has an aspect of brilliance about how you nurture yourself. So, and what makes you feel nurtured and what makes you feel cared for. Those are called biquintiles. And we actually have a few of them this week. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 biquintiles. When that many biquintiles, it's one of those weeks where we go, aha, 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 and we have breakthroughs. Biquintiles are fifth harmonics. It's 144. So numerologically, and there I'm going again, if we pretend we're a numerologist, yep, that's it, and we add up the numbers, right? Numerologically, I don't know, whatever. If we add up the numbers, 144, which is the level for a biquintile, adds up to a 9. And correspondingly, a quintile, which is 72 degrees, adds up to a 9. So these are called the fifth harmonics, and they're like that really cool music on the piano. If you're a pianist, you know what a fifth harmonic music sounds like. It's really beautiful. Or those wind chimes that you hear, the pentagonic scale, penta 5, with the 5 different chimes that play the same song, you know, that play those kind of a little tonal quality. It's an energy of change, but it's also an energy of brilliance with the change. So we have 5 biquintiles, 2 with Mercury, 2 with Jupiter, 1 with Chiron, and 1 with Pallas Athena, that are all going to help us get clear, see things in a new way, understand stuff we never really necessarily saw before, and kind of get it. Okay? An example of a biquintile, this is one of my fun stories from last week. I have a new kitten, right? Really cute little kitten. It's an Aries. He's an Aries. Remo is an Aries. And I have 2 older cats who are both not into the kitten, especially because the kitten thinks of them as giant cat toys. So the kitten has been really having, kind of wreaking havoc, for lack of a better word, in the apartment. You know, he's busy, he's a kitten, he's an Aries, he's got a lot of energy. So he jumps their tails. So last weekend he took out a piece of Max's eye, and I was really upset, took Max to the vet. You know, $100 later, $98 actually to be exact. I come home with cream and the word that Max has a bad tooth, and, you know, it's just like one of those not good days. So I decided, you know, we got to change the way the kitten and I interact with the cats. So I thought, well, all right, I'm going to start doing no, no, stop, stop yelling at him, and I'm going to put him in a crate. Every time he attacks one of the big cats, I'm going to put him in the crate. No, no, stop, stop, put him in the crate. Bad cat, bad cat. So I do this a couple days' worth. So I'm standing in the dining room. Now, I don't have that big an apartment, but I'm standing in the dining room. Remo's in the living room picking on Handsome. And I yell at him, no, no, stop, stop, because I'm talking to my assistant, Melissa. So Remo looks at me. He stops. He walks over, he gets in the crate himself, which is in the dining room, and sits down and looks at me like, okay, go ahead and close the door. And I kind of looked at him and I went, wow, you're like really smart, one. But two, here I am a Virgo trying to fix an Aries. He wants to cut their tails off. This is his job in life. He's an Aries. He's supposed to hunt things. And what he learned from me yelling, no, no, stop, stop, and putting him in the crate was, okay, I attacked their tail, and then I have to go in the crate for a little while. No problem. I got it. Got the routine down. And all of us are having those kind of waking up moments. So I looked at this little kitten, and I happened to be having a biquintile in my chart that day, kind of trying to figure out what it would be. And what it made me aware of was the training we receive. The unconscious or conscious, I mean, I was really trying to break him of biting the cat's tails, training that makes us modify our behavior. Here this little kitten, in like 2 days, 3 days, had learned, no, no, stop, stop, meant go to the crate. Sit there, wait for the door to be closed for 5 minutes, and then come back out and attack the tails again. And I just was like watching that and going, wow, how easy it is to train us. So one of the things that these eclipses are doing is they're helping us break free of our old conditioning and our old training. Correspondingly, or connectedly, or whatever the right word would be, they're helping us to train ourselves into some kind of new behavior. Right? And it's very powerful energy, works really fast. Now, I know the kitten's smart, but he's not that smart. I'm going to give it a little eclipse energy, too. And for all of us, there's an energy and a consciousness of waking up where we're looking and we're going, that's how I got trained into doing that. I don't have to do that anymore. That's how I learned to do that. I don't have to make that choice anymore. Because what eclipses do is they help us see things in a new light. They helped me see, here I am a Virgo, I'm an astrologer, I know what Aries are like, I've dated a few of them. Like, they're wonderful people, but they can be a little hard to live with. At the same time, here's a little Aries who's totally like, all right, fine, you want me to go in the crate, I'll go in the crate, but I'm still going to hunt the tails. It's the core nature. So all of us are getting down, with eclipses we always do, we're getting down to our core natures. We're seeing what our core nature is, we're coming to understand it, we're coming to get a better idea of what it looks like, what it feels like, and how it works. And your job this week, as Venus transit Jupiter, is to say, this is what I like. And as Mercury opposes the gang of three and Jupiter and saying, that is what I don't like. And to really get clear on your training, your understanding, your visibility, what your dreams are, because remember the gang of three is making new dreams for you over there, and to talk to them and say, you know, when you send me that new dream, I do not want this in the dream. When you send me the new dream, what I'd really like is I'd like a plush seat that's warm. I'd like it to warm itself when it's cold outside. Whatever your dream is, big, small, middle, tiny, this is the week to be clear and to talk about it and to kind of think about it because it's the eye of the storm. It's not quite so busy, not quite so crazy, not quite so stressed. Kind of a quiet time. Next week will be crazy again as we are in the middle of this eclipse season, which is what this is called since it's been running for 3 weeks now, 4 weeks since the end of June, all of July, and we got 2 more weeks to go. All right, so forward. I'll talk about the moon when I get back. In the meantime, we'll take callers. The guest call-in number is 347-215-7467, 347-215-7467, and I see we have a caller on the line. I'll pick you up, hopefully. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Hi, caller.
Hi, Ann. My name's Diane.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've actually really enjoyed listening to not just this show, but I've had to download your Access Astrology with your two friends.
Oh, great.
It's on past my bedtime.
I'm a night owl. What can I say?
But
that's
really,
my best time. Yeah. Okay.
I love to listen to the different analogies of the energies that are happening right now.
Great.
So thank you. I really
great.
Enjoyed it.
Glad you like it. Did you have a question?
Well, yeah. I feel like
sure.
I've kind of like a little lost in the world around me as the rest of us as it crumbles. Mm-hmm. It's like where am I supposed to be going? I really Have no clue.
No clue. Cool. What's your chart's birthday?
11-1-60.
11-1-1960. And do you know the time?
6:43 a.m.
6:43 a.m. Where?
In Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Pawtucket. I know Pawtucket. I got a good friend, Margaret, from Pawtucket.
See that?
Yeah, we love Rhode
Island. It's a small world, isn't it?
It is. It is. We love Pawtucket. Are you in Kent or Providence, Pawtucket? Who knew there were two Pawtuckets?
Well,
One's Pawtucks. Yeah, okay. Providence.
Pawtucket, in terms of Providence, is probably
that. Tuxac would be the other one. Okay, cool. So the question is, with your chart, this is Diane, November 1st, 60.
Yeah.
And 6:43 in the morning in Pawtucket.
No, 6:43.
Yeah, 6:43.
Sorry.
Okay, cool. So the question is, were the eclipses hitting you?
Yeah, because, like, job, I mean, I left my job a year ago,
and
I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do, and eventually I will have to really go back to work.
Right.
And I just feel like every area of my life is sort of at a standstill, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, actually. Well, a few things. You know, you've got that cardinal... Sorry for the siren. I live near a hospital. That's somebody going to the hospital, not very happy right now. You have that. You have a T square in your chart between the moon and Mars and Saturn. You there?
Yep.
Okay. Make click click noises. So the T square, at any rate, what that does is it tends to freeze when there's problems going on, right, or when there's major changes going on. So what's been happening lately is that eclipse got activated by the eclipses, or that T-square got activated by the eclipses, because it's the same degree. So the story that would have come to light was around your value and what's important to you and how you're seen or how you're valued. And then the next one is what your beliefs are. The eclipse that comes up soon right after this is going to set off your moon, and that one may actually help you find some work that you want to do, because it's going to be in a trine to your moon, and it's also high in the house of your ninth house. Part of what you're going through right now is Pluto, the thing I'm really noticing in terms of why so stuck, why so frozen, would be Pluto on your Juno, which is the end of a partnership of some sort that was probably pretty major, and on your Jupiter, which is the sense of optimism and your ability to move forward and also your ability to feel valued by other people. So that Pluto is sitting on that Jupiter for a while, and a lot of times when that happens, it's a bigger cycle. You're ending, like, essentially a 248-year cycle, you know, long time.
Jeez, when I'm stuck, I'm really stuck.
Yes, yes, yes. So a lot of times what happens when it's one of these really, really big cycles is the universe says, you know what, you got enough to deal with. We're going to let you sit in the corner over here while you work this out, and then we'll put you back in the game down in a while. So a lot of the work that you've been doing and a lot of the mental looks like a little bit of depression, too. A lot of the depression has been, you know, it's that Pluto on the Jupiter taking away the sense of optimism. And also the energy this last year has been asking you to go back and look at what your belief systems were from when you were a little person to now, and to eighth grade, rather, I'm sorry, and to kind of revise them. Now, if you think back to 1997
yeah,
and 1985... and 1973, in each of those years, you started a major new cycle around your life, a major expansion cycle, a major planting the roots, putting down a foundation, and then starting to grow. Those are 12-year cycles that run off of your chart that are important. And this year, starting, you know, can be now, but it can be as late as December, the universe is saying to you, okay, we're starting the big cycle now and getting ready to go. A lot of times when a T-square gets deactivated, which is what happened to yours, when the T-square gets turned off, the person used to use that as the juice, and it doesn't run their chart anymore. They don't get angry anymore to take action. They don't get depressed anymore. So they then go, well, how can I function if I'm not angry or depressed or upset? And it's like, well, you can, but you have to come up with new motivation. So what happened was your stuff all got turned off over this last year because you finished up a karmic cycle with Saturn on your north node. And your chart said, okay, we're done with the last 28 years of my life. I'm releasing something really profound. And now it's kind of like the engine is sitting there going, okay, so, like, how do I run then? if I'm not going to run mad, if I'm not going to run upset, if I'm not going to run because I'm being obstructed, what is my motivation to make me run? And Pluto on your Jupiter is saying to you, we're transforming your engine right now. You know, it's out and it's on the auto block and it's getting rebuilt, and we're going to put the new engine in. You're going to have a new engine that's going to go really well. But right now, don't you worry. We're going to take it. We got to work with it a little longer, and then we'll be ready. So if you think of it as a 248-year cycle that's coming to an end, this is a big karmic cycle ending for you. And when they end, they tend to give us, we tend to need a little space to recover. So you're going to go back to work. You're going to find something probably by September. It's not maybe going to be something you totally love around September 15th. You're going to be a little more motivated to go out in the world. Right now, you're just not really motivated. Your mojo, your mojo's gone. You have no gas in your engine.
That is, and your dates are very profound. More so the last one, 97 was when I actually started working at the university that I just left. So that's really the date. 97 was when I went back to work full time after being home with my daughter.
And then 85, was that when you got married and left the work, or your life shifted in directions for work, for home?
85 was when I was running my own business, mm-hmm. and from that point was when my relationship got really serious, and we bought the house. We did this like 2-year cycles. I got married at 26, I bought a house at 28, and I had a baby at 30.
Okay.
So it
well,
was,
Mars
and that
really
started during 85.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then now this has been like a year off, right?
And it has been.
Yes.
And I've never not worked, so I've been appreciating the fact that I had the time off, mm-hmm. and I want to say the Saturn, I think, ties to my dad passing.
Yeah, he passed last year.
Because that happened in September.
In September last year, yeah.
And I lost, you know, I left my job, and it wasn't like I left by my choice, but it wasn't like a good choice because there was no choice. In other words.
Right. Yeah, it was a forced out from, you know, it was losing your father and losing your authority figure, right? Because the father and your boss are the same thing.
Ah, see, because
right?
It was
house.
July that my I left my job, and then September my dad passed.
Yeah, and had your dad been sick in the summer?
Not, well, he had actually had a little bit of an infection in his knee.
Okay.
And I think what it did is it, you know, taxed his heart. But actually, we weren't expecting. I mean, he had not been sick where previously he's been sick. He was
okay.
Like, okay.
Right.
So it was pretty sudden.
Yeah.
And it actually happened very quickly. And I was right in the house with him.
When he left.
Yeah. My dad was a Pisces, and he was right on my south node. So I was very close to my dad.
Oh, okay. So you had Saturn also opposite your south node with him leaving.
Yeah.
That's, you know, because Saturn on your north node is what I was talking about, but that's also
yep.
opposite your south node. So you also had Saturn opposite your sun. So it's also another ending on there of a 14-year cycle, right? You know, like there's a whole series of cycles that we talk, and, you know, Pluto to Jupiter is one. That happens every 248 years. But the other one's a 30-year cycle ending, and the other one's a 14-and-a-half-year cycle. So this is a lot of endings this year. And
Ooh.
Like 95 was, 97 was a new beginning, you've got a new beginning coming in December, maybe as soon as September, but realistically, that you need space for. And I'm born and raised in this country, but we don't honor the passage of people. And for you, Dad and your authority figures are really in critical importance because you have two planets and a node up there in the 10th house.
Mm-hmm.
So the parental or the authority role, the role of authority. And so when you lost your authority, there's a part of you that then has to step into being your own authority.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a Sun Neptune. So it can be a little bit hard sometimes to find, like, what do you mean I'm in charge? You know, I mean, I can do it, but really I'm in charge. And it's like, yeah, but your reason for doing it is shifting. And so when that happens, a lot of times it feels almost a little like quicksand, like stuff is shifting underneath us. And so when I see that, I'm like, that T-square, when it's moving, nothing can stop it. But right now, it's very quiet. And in this time of this T-square, in this, you know, you said you'd do in 2-year cycles. Well, when you hear 2-year cycles, think Mars return. And you have Mars in Cancer in that T-square. So when you have your next Mars return, which will be, let me tell you when, that will be when you get your mojo back, okay, when Mars gets to 16 Cancer, which is in September. Mars gets to 16 Cancer like September 21st. So at that point, I would say to you, you're finished with your 2 years of changes around work and home and dad, and you're ready to start your new 12-year cycle, like you did the 12 years with the university, some new visions coming in, and you're ready to move forward. And that will, I think, you'll feel much more grounded. And that's just working with transits. Let me just take a quick peek at your progressions and see if there's anything funky going on in there that would indicate a major shift. Yeah, Moon in Capricorn says 7 more months, the emotional depression shifts. And are you doing any house changes? Are you selling his house?
Well, probably another year. Mm-hmm. I take care of my parents' summer home. My mom is still living, and she has a house in Florida and one in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So she's with me right now, and mm-hmm. she's going to wait another year because she's managing. She needed to get her sea legs under her.
Okay.
So I actually was hoping, I was considering relocating to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a daughter who's turning 18, so there's a lot of changing.
A lot of changing.
So I think that it was just maybe just not quite the right time, and I have to kind of wait it out a little bit. Because once my mom's ready to sell this house, and then I can separate and do everything in a tidy way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's ready. You know, she was going to go to Florida with my mom, and now she's hesitating. So I just think that there's a delay for a reason.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. There always is a reason. It's like when we're sitting watching it. When my cousin or my sister-in-law, stepsister-in-law, they were trying to sell their house, and then a daughter got pregnant, and she kept tipping over with epilepsy with the pregnancy with the second child for whatever reason. There was all these problems, and she would just stand up and hit the floor. So she ended up having to move back home with her husband and her older child because she was basically bedridden. And so I just said to Terry, so that's why the house didn't sell. You know, once the baby was born, 2 weeks after the baby was born and they were out of the house, that house sold. There's a reason. And I would say to you, your mom's probably going to be a little bit more than a year before she's ready to go because your Sag son is at 28 right now, and that's got a clear... and it's about to go into Capricorn. So when that happens, that usually is a big shift of the structure of the life. And that structural change takes place in, hang on, we're going forward with the computer, the magic computer, March of 2011, I would say to you. That's when you're selling houses and releasing things. So it may be even a little longer than you're thinking.
Okay,
because that's the big shift when your progress sun changes out of Sagittarius into a new sign. You also have very nice relationship aspects this year.
I was just going to ask about that because I had actually been seeing somebody that sort of materialized out of the blue, out of a friendship, out of a long-term friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was considering moving to North Carolina is one of the things, it's kind of ended and he's not speaking with me. He's a lot older than I am, too, so that's part
right,
of it.
Right, so he didn't want to make the change. Does he have family and stuff in North Carolina?
And, yes, he's almost codependent to his children.
Yes. Well,
which I think is, it actually was probably my, that's probably my, as I see the issue. It's easy for him to get wrapped up in other people, so that way he doesn't have to deal with his own.
So he doesn't have to do his own stuff, yeah.
And that, so. And,
yeah,
and
no,
I
this
just,
would be a, this would be a new honey coming in, looking
well,
like November time frame.
Well, that's good.
That you could actually make some plans with.
I've been alone for a long time when I raised my daughter, and that was by choice. I did not want a relationship. I was going to school, working, taking care of my daughter, and now I do. Now it's my time.
Now you're kind of ready. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at your, you know, you got a lot of stuff in November, a lot of stuff in December, and then relationship stuff. Pretty significant, actually. You got about 3 things going on that indicate good relationship stuff. I would be surprised if you weren't in one by January, but it can be as soon as the beginning of October, and then middle of November, like around November 15th. Watch then, because you got stuff setting off your chart, and then January 2nd, 3rd. So just kind of stay tuned. You generally tend to meet them through friends or through the neighborhood anyway. So just kind of chat up everybody in the line.
I
you're
do
checking
anyway.
Out the groceries. Yeah, no, that's how you meet people. You totally meet them through connects and friends or people introducing, oh, I know this really nice girl you should meet. So, yeah, and I, you know, I think it's good. I don't know that your mom's moving so fast. She's kind of pokey. I don't know that.
Well,
she's
my mom's
really
Taurus with Capricorn moon, so that
doesn't surprise me. Yeah, no, she's not.
And that's okay because it's my duty, I suppose, in life to just do that, and I know that. But I choose it because I know that there'll be a day when she won't be here either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I left before she was ready to do what she needed to, I wouldn't feel okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. And I tell my friends that. I said, no, you know what? It'll be okay. I said, when I do go, everything will be all set, and I'll go with a clear conscience.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Well,
yeah.
Ann, I'm so glad. I really have enjoyed
nice
your...
To you.
I love your analogies. Everybody has their own little style, and you have a wonderful style.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And never mind your words. You're doing fine. I was like, what the heck's going on with the words here?
Kind of, I'm like,
well, maybe it's a Mercury, a little
it's
mini
a Mercury
retrograde,
thing, yeah.
You know?
It definitely. You know, actually it is. It's probably Mercury opposite the Neptune. I was like going, bup, 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 and I'm like, where am I just running with this stuff? All right,
but,
cool. Well, what
and
was nice talking to
you. And the other two people, Heather and...
Mark, they'll be on tomorrow
night. Right, mm-hmm. Please tell them. I so love listening to all of you.
Oh,
you guys are all great.
Yeah,
thanks
really
for what
fun.
You do.
Yeah, we have a good time. Yeah, and Mark's feeling much better. He had the flu, although actually I think he might have gotten bitten by Lyme disease because he said he had a little rash too.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, you know, the flu and a rash, that's Lyme disease. And he goes off hiking with his wife in the woods all the time, so hopefully he's okay. But he'll be back tomorrow, we'll do the Exodus Astrology tomorrow night. So.
And I'll download it and listen in to you Tuesday.
Thank you
so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye. All right, so we get to try another caller. All right, we're not too sure how we're going to do with this. All right. Hi, 917. How are you? Who are you?
Oh, this is me. Hi, I'm doing okay. It's nice to talk to you.
Good. Very cool. Do you have a question or a comment or concern about the
eclipse? Yeah, I do. It's funny because I think there's something in the water. I related very strongly to some of the things that the previous caller was talking about because I'm kind of feeling, I'm at a point in my life where I'm feeling kind of stuck.
And
it's just sort of like, okay, you know, where am I supposed to go from here? I'm trying to figure it out, but it's kind of eluding me.
Okay.
I can think of a number of different directions in which I would like to go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know. We have a bit of thunder right now.
Yeah.
If it's not the thunder, it's the fire engines, or it's the cat throwing something off the couch.
Yeah.
So, you know, always something here.
But now I can think of a couple of directions in which I am thinking primarily in terms of work. Thinking of directions in which I, you know, could go potentially and might like to go, even open to going back to school. But it's just sort of, especially the way things are right now, it's sort of like, where do I go from here? I have no clue.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your first name?
Gwen.
Gwen. All right. And what's your birthday?
June 20th, 1968.
June 20, 1968. Time?
6:43 p.m.
Oh, you're the same time as her.
Wasn't she a.m.?
Yeah, but that's pretty cool. And where?
Yeah. One of your favorite places, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, I love Cincinnati.
Yeah.
We love Cincinnati. They have the skyline chili. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
And the flying pig.
Of course, you should try it. My personal favorite's Gold Star rather than Skyline, but I like Skyline, too.
Oh, okay. All right, so June 20, 1968.
Yep.
6:43 p.m. in Cincinnati, Ohio, complete with the Procter & Gamble home, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making the soap out of the pig bristles.
And I went on a few tours of
Cincinnati. Yeah, no, they had the pigs. They used to drive the pigs up from the Ohio River, and then the Procter and Gamble. I don't remember who was who, but one of them did brushes and one of them did soap, and they got together and they said, you know, we should form a company with the leftover pig parts. So it's very cool. All right,
and of course, some of the meat probably went to Oscar Mayer. So
yeah, that's probably true. Okay, so you are having a bunch of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, lots and lots, actually, really. I would say to you, September, you know, you just got to hang tight till September because Saturn's coming to your Uranus then.
Mm-hmm.
So are you currently working or are you thinking of leaving where you are?
I am not employed at the present
time. You are not
time.
Employed,
I mean,
okay.
I have a couple of temp agencies that I've been working with, but unfortunately, for some reason, everything just dried up like around late March.
Okay. All right.
So
I've
been sort of out of work for the past couple of months.
Yeah, I would. Well, it's a couple things. One, you got Saturn kind of hanging out on your stuff, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's going
right.
to get to your Uranus on September 15th, so there should be some opening after that. And right now he's in your 10th house, so he's really asking you to be very crystal clear about what you want. Plus, he's forming a bit of an inconjunct to your natal Saturn, which is, you know, what are you doing for your art and your creativity? Because this chart's got a lot of art and creativity. Do you have any kind of writing? Do you do editing?
Well, the funny thing is that I don't. My mother does quite a bit of writing.
Okay.
I have tried to do creative writing. I can't really say that I'm very successful at it. I'm better with nonfiction, and oddly enough, I'm thinking of starting a proofreading course sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would say editing and proofing is a good idea because you've got the Virgo Pluto stuff and you've got all the Gemini things, but also there's an energy there with the inconjunct that's got a lot of, you know, you get a job and then, you know, if there's a disillusionment with it, then it adjusts. And you have a natal aspect of Saturn-Uranus in your chart. It's an inconjunct, so it's an adjusting aspect, kind of like a table rocking.
Well,
so
not to mention, I also know that I have Uranus in my 10th house, which pretty much says that that corporate America is not going to work for me.
No, not necessarily a great space.
At least not traditionally.
Yeah, not traditional employment. I would say, you know, it's kind of a chart that really has its own freelance ideas, and it's not necessarily going to follow a traditional path. Because Pluto and Uranus are high, you're not going to necessarily work well with authority in the sense of...
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, some charts aren't supposed to work for other people. Some charts are... They have their own path, and you do. So
yeah.
I would say there's some kind of creative thing that goes on. And what's happening now, because you have a natal Saturn-Uranus aspect in your chart, the opposition is in play. And so while the opposition's in play, which is through next summer, okay, so this is a long one, through next summer, the two of them are dancing. So I would say to you, you can get something, it can shift. You can get something, it can shift. You can get something, it can leave. You've got a big thing hitting that Saturn, your Uranus, rather, I'm sorry, on September 15th, and then it'll calm down. And then again in April next year,
okay.
It hits all your Gemini stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer, it gets to zero. And then your chart kind of calms down and rests. But this period of time has got an enormous amount of ability for you to really take and relocate, take and figure out what your dreams are. You got Pluto going through the second, so it's really about you understanding what you're good at and what you do well. And
yeah, that's
good,
true.
Yeah, you're a good communicator. You're good at relating to people. You're good at connecting with people. You just have trouble with people that are crazy working for you. Or are you working for people that are crazy?
Yeah.
No, you're
well,
just...
It's funny because a lot of what you say is true. And there's one question that I have in mind. You said something about relocating. Do you think, would that mean relocating physically in terms of going to another city? I have been giving some thought to, I mean, especially just with the way things are, I have been giving some thought to going back to my home state, at least for a while. I can't really say that's something I, you know, am really excited about, but from a pragmatic point of view, that's something, and I know that Uranus is, what is it now, Uranus is hitting my fourth house right now?
Yeah, it's in your fourth.
And somebody said, I did move last year.
Mm-hmm.
I moved from Manhattan to one of the outer boroughs, and it was not entirely by choice. This was something that was kind of forced upon me.
Right.
Although not by my own fault. This was something.
No, it's definitely Uranus. When you're having a big Uranus transit, I always compare that to be the mother cat comes and picks you up by the back of the neck and carries you along and drops you someplace, and then she comes back and picks you up and goes, "Dog, it's time to move you somewhere else."
Yeah.
So this is very much a transit around really figuring out what your dreams are. And as a 68 baby, one of the things that happens when you hit this middle period is all the planets that you've never lived want to wake up and do something.
Oh,
they want to come alive. And so your job is to give them permission to come alive, all right, and to give them permission to speak. So I don't know that moving home is necessarily right, but I would try doing some more freelance stuff. You're still in the city?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would try doing more freelancy things and see how that works. You know, like the temp agencies that you were with maybe didn't work, but now go back around to new agencies and try signing up and also doing kind of spot jobs with internet, you know, looking on Craigslist and stuff like that, because you actually do good work getting work off the internet or off the computer because Uranus and Pluto is high, or even signing up to edit something, you know, the sign up and saying, you know, I edit things, you know, you want me to edit your stuff.
It's and funny that my a lot of the work that I've been doing for the last 10 odd years has been doing internet research. It's been a large part of my job.
A large part of your job, yeah. And I would say to that, you know, like somebody's looking for a book or, you know, help you do research on the internet or, you know, publishing and putting up your own ads for things, or even with your chart going around to hospitals because of other Virgo stuff, or talking to researchers, contacting people at like Memorial Sloan Kettering or other researchers at universities and seeing if you can do research for them. Because that Uranus Virgo is I find weird things and I do good work.
Because, I mean, I've been thinking about, one of the things I've been thinking about, and again, this is primarily from a pragmatic rather than an interest motive per se, is I went to talk to a school in the city which they train people how to do medical assistant work. And I thought about that from, you know, again, because I know healthcare is like a big booming industry right now. I thought about that from, you know, again, not necessarily so much of, you know, this is something I really, really want to do, but this is something that, you know, might help me get some additional work.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, that sounds good. I say go for it. So cool. And I think the show is over.
Go for the school
or
go for the...
No, I wouldn't. I don't think going back to school is the option. It's not. You don't have anything going through the 9th or the 12th houses, so it's not got anything to do with finding work through school. But I maybe... looking at research institutions could really help, or looking at anything with that does Virgo, you know, someone who's doing research on a cookbook or research on anything to do with service-oriented stuff can work really well. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So good. So I think we're done for the night. My little switchboard did weird things just now, so I have no idea if this is recording or not. But if it is, great. If it's not, we'll see you next week. Take care. Okay. We never did the moons, but it's not going to be a bad week, so it'll be good anyway. All right. So nice talking to you. Take good care, Gwen.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.